A few years after I was received into the Catholic Church, I became the director of faith formation for my parish. And once I had a few years under my belt in that role, I began to notice a couple of intriguing patterns emerging amongst people who would approach me with their stories. Patterns that I think reveal a lot about the current state of our church. I'll tell you what they were, coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life, and the show that provides you with an hour of on-air and online spiritual direction to help you better know and love our resurrected Lord and understand His central role in your life. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. One pattern that I noticed being director of faith formation was this. I would repeatedly have adult Catholics who had been Catholic their whole life, even having attended Catholic elementary school, high school, and sometimes even attending a Catholic university, coming up to me and asking what I might offer to a lifelong Catholic who felt they didn't really understand their faith. They wanted a refresher on the basics, or in not a few cases, they wanted to learn the basics for the very first time. Another pattern was specifically for those who had come to me for some role in the parish's faith formation efforts, like being an RCAA sponsor or a catechist for religious education, for instance. I would ask them to tell me about their lived relationship with God to that point in their lives, their prayer life, their sacramental life, their church involvement. And far more often than not, I'd hear that they grew up in a strong Catholic household, Mass every Sunday, sacraments of initiation at all the proper times, sometimes even a regular family rosary. But then, they'd say, I moved out on my own, or I went away to college and kind of fell away for a while. Over and over again, I would hear how, after high school, they, be it actively or passively, just stopped going to Mass. They stopped going to confession. Many of them would reassure me that they still prayed, but that was really the extent of their spiritual lives. Well, thankfully, they would then tell me how the Lord drew them back into the community of faith, sometimes through the influence of a dramatic conversion event in their personal spiritual lives, sometimes through the encouragement of a couple of really close and very faithful friends, often through both. But what do these things mean? Why do people, especially younger people, have the propensity either not to learn and grow in the faith, or to rather casually lay it aside once out of the strictures of living at home? And what can we do about it? What should we be doing about it? We'll get into it as today we're discussing our loved ones who have fallen away from the faith. Our spiritual director today is Father Dave Heaney. Father Dave is a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. He has a master's degree in marriage, family, and child counseling from the University of Southern California, and he currently serves as the pastor of St. Bruno Catholic Church in Whittier, California. Welcome back to the show, Father Dave, and happy Easter to you.
Thank you. Happy Easter, and always great to be with you and our listeners.
Well, I'm sure that this is a topic that touches the hearts of many. I can't think of anyone, really, who doesn't know at least someone that has been part of the faith but then walked away. So let's start with maybe reasons that, your thoughts on some of the reasons why people do lay aside the faith, maybe especially younger adults.
Well, I think there are as many reasons as there are young adults. I mean, everyone's an individual, very personal story, very personal journey. And, you know, God really looks at us as having personal journeys. And each one of us has a different sense of timing in our life when things happen. You know, God calls us sometimes to move fast or slow in the spiritual life. So I always respect the individuality of people when I hear those kind of stories. But I think there's kind of a general thing that we can always think about. You know, basically our faith is about how to influence other people. How can we make a difference in other people's lives? You know, Jesus said in the Great Commission, go out and baptize everyone in the world in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you're trying to make a change in someone else's life. And that's a really, you know, kind of an interesting concept. I mean, let's look at it this way. Companies spend billions and trillions of dollars every year on advertising, trying to get us to do something, buy this product or that. And so how we influence other people is just really, really important and powerful. And I think the bottom line is, in the Christian faith, it always has to involve freedom. The people have to come to Jesus freely of their own free will. So I think, looking back on families, if families had a sense of freedom about religion, then it's more likely that children will accept it willingly. But if there is coercion or force or manipulation, you know, that can get compliance over a number of years. But maybe when the person finally goes away to college and they're on their own, they sometimes deliberately choose to go in a different way just to kind of exercise the freedom that they didn't have when they were younger. So I think the idea of freedom is just very important. Now, obviously, the younger a child is, the less freedom they have. I mean, you know, I've been in California since I was 9 years old. Before that, I lived in New Jersey. Sometimes people here ask me, you know, how did you get to California? And I said, very simple. My parents simply said, get in the car. And that's how I got here, because I got in the car. I had to do what they said, you know, when I was that age. But I think families have this kind of very difficult ballet, very difficult dance to perform with young children about religion in such a way that they try to make the religious practice something that children want to do, and, you know, kind of keeping the idea of force and coercion and manipulation, you know, low. And so I think that generally, just a long answer to that question, you know, how do we influence other people? The best way is always in a way in which that person believes that they are freely choosing to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I can appreciate the element of freedom that is necessary, but I want to go back to something else you said, too, that it seems to me, too, if the influence of the parents is such that, you know, there is a sense of joy of really entering into it, of saying that this is something that is so important to me, I mean, that has a huge, because it could be that there are a number of parents out there who, yes, they're still towing the line in terms of weekly Sunday mass attendance, going to confession regularly, et cetera, but they might be doing it. The parents might be doing it under compulsion as well.
Yeah, you know, I always go back to, you know, one of my favorite lines that Pope Benedict used to say all the time, and that is, the sure sign of the presence of Jesus in someone is the sense of joy. And that's beautiful coming from, you know, a high scholar like Pope Benedict. But joy is everything. And, you know, children are not going to understand theological concepts, but they're going to look at their parents, who are everything in their life, and they're going to, you know, they may not have intellectual, you know, capability, but they have high emotional capability. And they can detect emotions very well and understand emotions better than they can intellectual concepts. If they see that their parents are happy in going to Mass, are happy especially when Mass is over, and that they are better people because of the Mass experience, children see that. And so they pick up on joy very, very quickly and very fast and very deeply. And so I think that's a very, very powerful thing, really, at any age. But certainly for families, if faith and our Catholic faith are sources of happiness and joy and well-being and satisfaction, that is extremely powerful. So I think one thing that parents and adults can do, can start with, is, does it bring me joy? Mm-hmm. Do I feel happy to be a Catholic? That's a good place to start. And maybe changing the way that they understand their own faith and what it's supposed to do in their life. And if they make that kind of homework assignment, and if they do that really well, that will have a really big rippling effect on their family and spreading the joy of our faith to people in their family as well.
Sure, sure. And let's not underestimate the role, the influence. I mean, you're right, Father, of course, that parents' influence on their children is par excellence. You know, it's above all others. But still, there is a role of the whole of the parish community as well, and especially perhaps their peers, especially as they get into the teenage years and that sort of thing, that there's kind of a passive peer pressure that's going on there. If they see their peers saying that, yeah, this is really important to me, well, aren't they more inclined then to say, well, maybe I should make it more important to me too?
Yeah. I mean, as the child gets older, its community gets bigger. They meet neighbors, they meet school chums, school buddies at school. They meet the rest of the relatives. One thing I've noticed here at St. Bruno, and I hope this is true in a lot of places, but one thing I've noticed here that's really powerful and unique is many times the grandparents and other relatives live in town. So very often in a pew, I'll see the grandparents, the children, the grandchildren, and the aunt and uncles all in the same row. And then after Mass is over, they're all gathered together in a family group talking and everything. And I kind of have a sense that they're going to spend the whole rest of the day together as well.
Yeah.
And that is extremely powerful when children see not only their parents, but their extended family all practicing the faith, all kind of liking to go to Mass. And, you know, maybe half the experience is going to Mass and half the experience is a family reunion every week. That's fine. It all kind of encases the religious experience in a very satisfying and happy way. So yeah, godparents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, they all have a wonderful role. And if children see the entire family kinship circle involved in the faith in that beautiful way, it's a great sense of belonging, and it really has just a very beneficial effect. Now, I understand that relatives live different places, you know, and not every family can have that experience. But if it's possible, and you can make arrangements to have any relatives in the area all come to the same Mass, and then, you know, maybe have lunch afterwards or something, that's very, very beautiful family dynamic and a very beautiful faith dynamic as well.
Yeah, yeah, it sure is. Our spiritual director today is Father Dave Heaney. We're talking about loved ones that have fallen away from the Catholic faith. If you have experience of that, and I'm sure that you do, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have children, either young children or maybe adult children who are away from the Catholic Church. Tell us, call us why, and tell us why did they leave and how did you react? Have they come back to the church and what precipitated that, their return to the church, and what was the influence there? Give us a call. Our toll-free studio line here at The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. That line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Or you can send us an email if you'd prefer. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call or send us an email. Well, Father, one of the things that strikes me and that was really influential for me, I mean, we had the routine as I was growing up, and this was not in a Catholic household, but it was in a Protestant denomination, a Protestant tradition. And we had not just the routine of going to church on Sunday and being part of the religious education, whether that was Sunday school or Wednesday night confirmation prep or whatever it was. But there was also there were outside events that we attended from time to time, too. Either our youth director or our pastor or sometimes our parents would actually take us to these other events as well. And I guess that there's just something about seeing faith alive outside of the building, as it were. That's really helpful as well. What do you think about that?
Of course, the more places you see other people experiencing and practicing and enjoying their faith, the better. You know, one thing I meant to mention earlier is the role of endorsements. Now, if you see your family and friends, you know, involved in the parish or youth activities, that's great. But, you know, I think in the world of advertising, a lot of companies know that the most powerful influence over someone else is the power of an endorsement. And so it's no accident that commercials always have celebrities. You know, if this celebrity likes this product and they talk about it on a commercial, they know that that has a very, very powerful effect because you want to say, oh, well, I want to be like this star. I want to be like this celebrity. I want to be like with this, you know, famous person. So, I've seen this on TV and now a number of times, you know, the actor who plays Jesus in the film series The Chosen is on doing commercials now more and more for a prayer app, for things like that. And again, it's just very, very powerful. So using Catholic celebrities or famous or just that's why we have the saints. The saints are famous Catholic celebrities. So making these people known to our family is very, very powerful. You know, living celebrities now, Catholic athletes or movie stars, very, very effective. And of course, the saints are famous people that basically endorse the faith. So seeing someone that you admire, a movie star or an athlete or a saint about our faith has a big effect on people. And I think that, you know, we know that because companies will spend billions of dollars to make that happen, to make endorsements happen. So we know that that has a powerful effect on other people.
Right. And if I may, I'll just interject with that. I think you're exactly right, Father. And one of the influences I've seen in my religion classes at our local Catholic school, and I would never tire of actually promoting the saints that the Merry Beggars are putting for us, forward for us here on Relevant Radio, the stories, these audio dramas of the saints' lives. You can check them out at thesaintspodcast.com, thesaintspodcast.com. Great way of introducing young people to the reality of the saints and their role in their spiritual lives. Well, really the nitty gritty of it all is, what are we to do? Because we are all facing this, and sometimes it's members of our own household, you know, children who have fallen away. Maybe it's a sibling who's fallen away. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's wider than that. Sometimes it's a friend, you know, who has fallen away, something like that. But what's our responsibility, Father? I mean, what are we meant to do? Is it just praying? Is there more things? How can we be a positive influence, a positive endorser?
I think I would say two things about this. Okay. One is talking about what we can do to influence that person. And then the second thing, which is really important, which our Lord addressed with his apostles, is what to do if it doesn't work. And that is so important. Mm-hmm. So the first thing, of course, is we do everything we can. We can present saints. We can present Catholic celebrities, invite them to Mass, invite them to this, you know, kind of all the things that I think people already have a good sense of how they can, you know, try to make the faith available to someone else. That's all good. And I think people generally have a good sense of that. But the other thing, too, is if it works, great. But don't take it personally. Don't let your head get big. This is not a victory for you. This is a victory for our Lord. And so we don't want to make this kind of a competitive game in which, you know, I achieve victory because I got this person to go to Mass. Sure, so we've got to be careful about that. Yeah. But also, our Lord was very well aware of the fact that it doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have an example in his own life in Pope John Paul II's favorite verse, gospel story, which was in Mark 10:17, where the rich young man comes up to Jesus and says, "How do we get to heaven?" Jesus gives him the answer, and the man says, "Thank you very much. I don't want it," and he walks away. Mm. And what happens next is really important. And Jesus does nothing. He respects his decision. He respects his freedom. He respects his choice and lets him walk away. Now, it says Jesus looked at the man with love, but he didn't run after him. Now, Jesus, the good shepherd, runs after the lost sheep because the lost sheep is lost. It wants to come back, it just doesn't know the way. The rich young man was not lost. He had just had it perfectly explained to him, and he walked away. So what's important is Jesus did not collapse. He didn't think he was a failure. He simply loved the man and respected his journey, and he went away. Now, a lot of scholars really love this story, and they've analyzed it quite well. And there are a number of scholars that think that that story in the Gospel of Mark about the rich young man who walked away, actually, that rich young man was Mark. And that at some later point, he turned around and came back to our Lord and then wrote his own story in the Gospel. I think that makes sense. There's some technical reasons why that might be true. But it just means that if you allow people to be free, sometimes later on that they will make the right choice and come back. And I think parents and family members have to make this very, very humble admission, which means they themselves might not be the cause of conversion. And that's hard to take. Yeah. Parents want to think of themselves as, you know, I made my kids strong Catholics. And, you know, God bless them if that's true. But sometimes it's someone else who's going to do that, a teacher at school, a friend at college, you know, watching The Chosen or watching a movie, and someone else will be the instrument of change that brings them back. So, you know, do as best as you can, share the faith, be joyful. If it works, great. Don't take credit. If it doesn't work, don't take the blame. People who have the choice to make their own sometimes sinful decisions. And just recognize that someone else might be the change for them later on and not take it personally. So just real quickly, in the 10th chapter of Luke, which I wrote my book on, you know, Jesus says, go into every town, say peace to this house. If people welcome you, great, stay and talk about the faith. But if not, he says, shake the dust from your feet and move on and don't take it personally. I think that's a hard lesson that probably is the last lesson that people learn. And it's most difficult because we all want to think that we are the ones who make a difference. And we try. But if it doesn't work, if someone doesn't want to hear from us, then we just have to move on and pray for them and wish that someone else will make the difference for their life.
Yeah, amen to that. The book, in case anybody's interested, Father Heaney's book is Luke 10 Leadership, How to Succeed at Parish Ministry, and you can find that available online. Tell you what, Father, before we take our first break, let's go to Harmony, who's calling in from Texas. Harmony, good morning. Thanks for calling The Inner Life.
Hi, thank you so much for answering.
Sure. What have you got for us?
I wanted to comment because you asked for reasons why young adults are away from the faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm 22. My family is very Catholic, my mom particularly. I feel like my whole life I've just haven't really had faith. I've never felt it. I know, Father, you mentioned happiness being particularly salient in mm-hmm. Catholics, that you see your parents yeah. be happy, happiness as you enjoy being a Catholic. I feel like I've never felt very happy or connected to God. And I've also, I feel like suffering is kind of my story. I've had chronic mental illness. I've had anxiety, OCD, depression, panic attacks. I've had OCD since I was in middle school. I'm 22 now. I feel like it's hard to have faith when I know that suffering is part of faith. Suffering is something that Catholics experience. It's kind of neglected, but I feel like it's hard for me to believe in God and to praise Him when I'm suffering.
Thank you, Harmony. Very, very powerful message and very important one. And I think really what you're saying really goes to the very center and heart of our faith. You know, when you walk into any Catholic church, pretty much anywhere, the largest thing that you're going to see in that church is the image of an innocent man suffering on a cross and a person who's young, in his 30s. And so what does that say? That means that how to understand suffering in our life and what to do with it is the very rock-bottom foundation of our faith. So, you know, you have an opportunity to kind of connect with that. I think there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is an emotion that comes with good feelings, you know, nice weather, good meal, good gathering with friends. But joy is a much deeper sense that a sense of well-being that surpasses whether it's raining or not, whether we are suffering or not. Jesus on the cross clearly was in a terrible suffering situation. And yet on the cross itself, he's loving people. Mother, here's your son, here's your mother. This day you'll be with me in paradise. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even on the cross, Jesus is loving. So loving no matter what, no matter what's going on, rain or shine, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, like the marriage vows say, loving no matter what is actually what makes us happy or makes us joyful. So, you know, suffering is what you have. And so take what you have, Harmony, and how can you use it for some good? And that's really kind of a summary of what the words of the consecration are. This is my body, this is my blood, given for your happiness. Jesus is taking his entire self, my body and my blood, and offering it for someone else's good. And that's the message, that's the path for you, Harmony, is what is it that you have? Do you have health? Well, use it for good. Do you have wealth? Use it for good. Do you have suffering? Do you have sickness? Do you have pain? How can you use that for good? You can offer it for others' salvation, you know, offer it up, as we say. You can feel deeper compassion for other people who are sick. You can get involved with other people who are sick. So take basically the essence of joy in our faith is to take what we have and to use it to build up the kingdom of God in some way. So, you know, we don't wish suffering on anyone, and I wish it would go away for you, Harmony, but it is what you have right now. And so what our Lord says is take what you have and find some way that you can use that for some good in your family, amongst your friends, or your community. And that will be the source of joy. It's no accident that the words of the consecration are almost exactly the same as the wedding vows, that we love no matter what, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, we always love. God didn't come to give us wealth or health. He came to give us love, and he knew that that's what would make us profoundly happy. So that's the path for you, Harmony. And I wish the suffering would go away, but at least when you have the suffering, you know what to do with it. And you know what to do with it because of the life of our Lord.
Mm-hmm. Harmony, thank you so much for your call. Our prayers are with you, and thank you for your honesty as well. We really appreciate it. If you have, like Harmony, reasons why that you yourself are struggling to maintain a good relationship with the Lord, with the faith, and with the church, give us a call and let us know what that is, and speak with our spiritual director, Father Dave Heaney. Our number here at The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We got more in the conversation of our loved ones who have fallen away, what we can do about it, and why they're leaving. We'll have more of that, as I said, right after this short break. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley, and I am grateful that you are tuning in to join us today for talking about loved ones who have fallen away from the faith with our spiritual director, Father Dave Heaney. If you have young ones or perhaps not so young ones, friends, family, and even acquaintances who you know who have fallen away from the faith and you know why they no longer attend Mass, no longer go to confession, give us a call and join the conversation. Perhaps you yourself are struggling to stay connected with the church. 888-914-9149. I would like to invite you to call in and tell us your story. 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Let's go back to the phones. Evangelina is calling in from Fort Myers, Florida. Welcome, Evangelina. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you, and happy Easter Octave to you, Patrick and Father
Absolutely.
Dave. Thank you for taking my call. God bless. I just wanted to take you back on that last caller who I related so deeply with what she said, Harmony.
Yes.
And I just wanted to offer, I guess, a little guidance on how it, so much that I've been doing helped me with my anxiety. And just, you know, just really focusing on Jesus, not taking our gaze off Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, I would recommend Holy Hour at least weekly, because there is so much noise around us, not just in our family, but also, you know, in the world. So it's having that silence, silencing your thoughts. And he is the source of all joy, truly. I just wanted to piggyback on that. And of course, you know, seeking counsel, because sometimes it is something that you are born with, or, you know, you have genetics that you want to help. Seeking counsel from their doctors, and having a community prayer group. That's really what I recommend. That will keep the harmony in your life. So I just wanted to piggyback on that. Thank you.
Wow, that is beautiful, Evangelina. I think the three things I heard you say is, you know, keeping close to Jesus, adoration, especially a holy hour, counseling, you know, wise advice from wise people, doctors or therapists, and then community. You know, having family and friends around is powerful. And I think, you know, actually to kind of bring them together, they all kind of say the same thing. You know, Jesus' final words before he was ascended into heaven is he looked at his apostles and said, I will be with you always. What he didn't say is, I will remove all suffering. I will remove all bad people. I will remove all wars and terrible events. He said, I will be with you. So in all of these events that we have to experience here on planet Earth, we are not alone. And that's a powerful message that you get in adoration. when you are in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, just that very physical presence is Jesus' way of saying, I haven't left you. I am here. I am here in the way that I have chosen to be with you under the appearance of bread and wine. I am here in the Eucharist as a way of letting you know that you are not alone. I think that's the powerful message that people get in adoration, that, you know, our Lord, this is the sacramental presence that Jesus is saying, I am with you. And of course, getting wise advice is always a good idea. And, you know, family and friends, the people who say, you know, despite all that you're going to, you can always count on me. I'll be with you. Give me a call if there's anything I can do. All those beautiful things that people who love each other say, kind of reinforce that same message that you're not alone. So Evangelina, you know, thank you for calling in and sharing all that, because that's just a very, very powerful message to say to anyone who's undergoing difficult circumstances, that Jesus knew that we all would go through difficult circumstances and offers those powerful words, you are not alone. I will be with you always. Yeah. Thank you, Evangelina.
Thank you, Evangelina, indeed. Wonderful call. And Father, just as you were responding to, I guess one of the things going through my head was that it's just tricky the way that the enemy works here, because it seems it's as soon as you start to feel some isolation there, then if you cut yourself off from the church, then you're essentially cutting yourself off from those three things that Evangelina just mentioned. You're cutting yourself off from the Eucharist. You're cutting yourself off from wise counsel, wise faith-related counsel, where you might receive some of that. And you're cutting yourself off from a community of faith, from developing family and familial and friendship relationships that are faith-filled as well.
And that's exactly what Satan is. The word Satan, the very name, means divider, someone who divides us away from each other, isolates us, makes us feel that we are alone. So the opposite of that is what our Lord says, is we are together, I will be with you always, you will never be alone.
Yeah, amen to that. And I got to say that in this year of Eucharistic revival and the year of the Eucharistic Congress and the Eucharistic pilgrimage, it seems like there are more and more opportunities abounding here to kind of maybe use this as a mountaintop experience, a jumpstart, a catalyst to, you know, re-engaging with the faith as well. I was just looking at the Eucharistic pilgrimage map, and certainly in the St. Juan Diego route in the southern U.S., Harmony was from Texas. There's plenty of ways that you can get involved in that Eucharistic pilgrimage. So, yeah. Harmony, if you're still listening, check that out at eucharisticpilgrimage.org, and you can be involved in that as well.
And by the way, I'm going to be on the Relevant Radio pilgrimage to Poland and Czechoslovakia.
Nice.
September.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
RelevantRadio.com/Poland. Check that out as well with Father Rocky and Father Dave Heaney. Yeah, wonderful. Let's go back to the phones now. John is calling in from L.A., from Los Angeles. John, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Love the show and love Father Heaney. So thank you so much. I had two questions. First is just the idea of just indifference to the faith. I have several family members and friends who are not so much resistant, you know, like, you know, there's, you know, sometimes there's trauma in people's lives, or, you know, atheists, you know, they have these kind of intellectual arguments against the faith, but there's something there, right? What I have trouble understanding is folks who are just absolutely indifferent, right? You know, and they've gone through, maybe they're older in life and they're also approaching death or things like that. But there's this constant indifference, you know, you invite them somewhere, invite them to mass so I was wondering if we get some insight on that. The second is just more personal. I'm a practicing Catholic. I feel like I'm doing all the right things in terms of the sacraments and prayer, study, et cetera. But I do sometimes envy those who have this kind of passionate faith that I sometimes feel like I lack by myself reading, you know, trying to convince myself again or reading apologetics and things like that. So I know. So anyway, I was just wondering if you can comment on that. I know Mother Teresa, obviously, she kind of had her moments and dark moments. But anyway, I don't mean to go on and on, but I was hoping you'd comment on those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John. And nice to hear from Los Angeles listeners. I would say the thing about indifference, I would say the way to kind of connect that is to connect it with basically the kind of the sin of laziness, which is, you know, rampant. You know, people just get lazy. We just have to recognize that they just become lackadaisical, lazy, incurious, not willing to kind of put in effort. It's just the good old human nature aspect of just being lazy. And that happens. So, you know, I wouldn't really read too much into it beyond that. I think it's just some people, they're just kind of physically centric. They, you know, what makes me physically feel good, sleeping in on Sunday morning, having a nice meal, not putting out for other people, not, you know, exerting any kind of effort anywhere, just kind of retreating back into kind of physical satisfaction. It's a common sin, and I think that's something you're just going to encounter it, and not much more to say about that. It's really just kind of a general laziness. As far as, you know, looking at other people and kind of admiring their passion, that's okay. I mean, it's wonderful to admire the passion of the saints. It can be kind of an inspiration. But also, you want to be careful too much about comparing. You know, I actually had a chance to meet Mother Teresa one time, and it was really, really inspiring for me. But I've never felt the calling to go to Calcutta and be a missionary. Hmm. Because, I mean, our Lord has a different journey for each person, has a different calling for each person. Some people he calls to be evangelists, some people he calls to be teachers, some to just, you know, to be adorers in adoration, some people to live a quiet monastic life. There's different callings. You can admire the different people who have these different callings, but John, I think you mainly want to just kind of focus on how do you think God is calling you? You know, maybe, you know, some people are called to be very passionate and to kind of express that and to make that easily seen by other people. To tell you the truth, it's not mine. I'm the son of a scientist. I'm much more kind of methodically thinking and looking at facts and figures. So I'm not like a passionate person, I don't think. So each person has a different calling, a different journey. You just want to kind of be proud of your own. And you can admire what other people are doing, but not necessarily follow them. I deeply admire Mother Teresa. In fact, we're actually going to be installing a statue, a little head bust of Mother Teresa in our church pretty soon, next week. But, you know, I never felt the calling to go to Calcutta. So each of us has a different calling. Just focus on your own and be happy in it, and be happy in other people's callings, but just be, you know, kind of satisfied with your own as well, John. Hope that helps.
Yeah, I think that's a really good piece of advice there, Father. And thank you, John. Thank you so much for the call, and thanks for listening. But I think that right along those lines, Father, what you were just saying, I think the people that I encounter in my life and my Christian walk, the people who are most kind of lit up with the joy of the Lord are the people who have settled in on their calling. I mean, they have found what God has asked them to do. And yes, some of them are priests and religious, but far and away, not all, and not even most, I would say. You know, very many lay people just say, yeah, I'm doing what God has called me to do in terms of not just profession or, you know, just the job that they're doing, but in terms of, you know, being a husband or a wife or a parent, or it could be a whole slew of things. But I think you're right. I think there is something about finding the call of God in our lives and living that out to the full. Yeah. Well, you know what? Believe it or not, it's time for another break. So I think we need to do that, and then we'll go back to the phones. Great calls coming in as we're talking about loved ones who have fallen away from the faith, or perhaps you yourself are struggling with staying connected to the Lord and His church in this Easter season. What can you do? What can we do? Give us a call. Join the conversation. Ask your questions. Tell your story at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll be back with more of The Inner Life right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. info@relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Welcome back to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149.
Indeed, welcome back to The Inner Life. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sendovich, our producer, and Thomas Angus for taking your phone calls today. Our spiritual director today is Father Dave Heaney, pastor of St. Bruno Catholic Church in Whittier, California, talking about loved ones who have fallen away from the faith. Some good calls, and we've got some more on tap here. So let's go to Tony, also calling in from California. Tony, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, good morning. I'd just like to share a family tradition that we have after Mass. Like to bring to Our Lady, we say three Hail Marys. The first Hail Mary we say for people who don't love God and are away from the church. I'm always excited. I always love to hear conversion stories and, you know, hoping that people that don't love God now will love them in the future. And then the second Hail Mary, pray for everyone that we know, you know, for their souls and for we all go to heaven. And then the last Hail Mary, we pray for family and members away from the church. And just giving them to Our Lady and hoping that one day they'll come back.
Beautiful. Nice. Very simple. Kind of always bringing them to mind frequently is a great idea, that they're not forgotten, even if they've fallen away. You know, we don't write them off or erase them from our family, but we keep them in mind and pray for them every day. I mean, that reminds, of course, that reminds everyone, I think, of the famous story of St. Monica praying, you know, daily for her son, Augustine, who eventually became, you know, one of the greatest intellectual saints in the church, one of our church fathers. So thank you, Tony. That's a very beautiful tradition, especially on Sunday, to keep all those intentions in mind, and especially to keep those who have gone on a different journey, to keep them in mind and to present them to our Lord through the intercession of Mary. Very beautiful.
Ties in directly with the dismissal at Mass too, right? I mean, we were sent forth to go and announce the gospel of the Lord, or go in peace, you know, glorifying the Lord in your life. Yeah, taking a few moments just to kneel down, say three Hail Marys for those people. I think it's a wonderful tradition. Tony, thanks for sharing that. Great thing to do, and I think maybe we'll incorporate that into our prayer life as well. Let's go to Robert calling in from San Diego. Good morning, Robert. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Great.
I was calling to share my story. I grew up in the Catholic faith. Yes. I was baptized Catholic as a child, baby. And then, you know, I did my first communion and everything. But, you know, I fell out because, I don't know. I don't know why I fell out of the church. I mean, but as a teen, like a 18-year-old, I had a coworker, and he started inviting me to Christian church. And I started going. I like it. But as a 40-year-old man, I went back to the Catholic church. And I asked my mom, like, why do we go to church, Mom? Like, why? Because I remember going to church as a teenager, like 13 years old. And she just said, like, you know, we just went because that was a thing to do, like grandma. But they never, like, you know, shared their faith with us, pretty much. We just went to church 1 hour out of there, wait till next Sunday. And I just kind of like, I was just, you know, talking to her, like, you know, and she apologized to me. Like, she's like, not my mom. She loves going to church, and she's like, she's filled with the Spirit. And I just like, and she apologized to me. I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry to you that we didn't share, like, our faith with you, pretty much. And that's it. That's my story.
So where are you now, Robert?
Well, I'm in San Diego.
You go every
Sunday?
Where
am I at spiritually?
Yeah,
I try to go if Sunday. If I don't make it Sunday, I go during the week.
Okay.
Just so. But so I like going, though.
What brought you back? What brought you back?
You know, life. You know, I had been going through hard times, and I just, every time, you know, I call out to God and Jesus, and I go back.
Okay.
So, but.
Well, welcome back, Robert. I'm glad that you're back. I know that. You know, as I mentioned earlier, young children respond emotionally. If they see their parents are emotionally happy with faith, that has a big impact on them. But as we grow older, sometimes we need kind of an intellectual explanation. Why do we go to church? What's going on here? What is the Eucharist? And that typically happens in teen years, and sometimes even earlier. So I think, you know, your journey is very common and really very appropriate. Perfectly at the time when you were looking for explanations, you didn't get them. And so that had an effect, and I totally understand that. It's very understandable. But then, as you said, you know, kind of life provides its own explanation sometimes. You know, we go through events that really startle us or capture our attention, sickness or illness or relationship issues that cause us to think deeply about what's going on and what life is all about. And that frequently can bring people back to religion and back to faith as well. Sounds like that's what happened to you, Robert. I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that you called in to share that as well, because I think that's a story that resonates with just a lot of our listeners. So thank you again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robert. Thanks for the call. Let's now go to Thomas calling in from Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. So I have a daughter that's around 12 years old. She announced she wasn't Catholic anymore. She has, it's our fault because I let her use my cell phone and I didn't realize she was looking at certain things. And she was looking at homosexual websites, people affirming people in that lifestyle and so-called transgender lifestyle. And so she thinks that the Catholic Church is an awful thing because it doesn't affirm people in these sort of lifestyles, although it affirms people as human beings. So she's now 18, and we told her when she was 12 that she couldn't use Wi-Fi if she didn't go to church. And we still have that same rule. She's less hostile to her parents, but she still has some of those attitudes that are contrary to the church. So I guess my question is, she's living at home, and I guess the rule in our home is if you live in our home, you have to go to Mass on Sunday. If you're on your own, you're on your own. So I wanted to know your thought of that, Father.
Thank you, Thomas. I think as children get older, they don't respond to coercion or force as well as younger children do, because they understand, you know, parents say you have to go to bed now or whatever they do. But as they get older, their sense of community frequently and unfortunately comes from social media. The people that they listen to become social media influencers. And so these are famous people. And again, famous people have a big impact. We tend to, endorsements are very powerful. So I think what I would recommend for your daughter is, just kind of laying down a law. You have to do this. You will get compliance. She will follow it, but her mind will be someplace else. So I think we have to engage her mind. So I would recommend her to go to social media, Catholic social media apps. Bishop Barron, Relevant Radio, Father Michael Schmitz. If social media is her community, send her to Catholic social media places where she can get information. Just telling her, do this and do that, you will get compliance. She may obey, but she won't follow interiorly. So I think we need to engage her mind and present it that way. We'd like you to investigate these and make up your own mind. Look at these sources and then come to your own conclusion. And then we have to respect that. So I think the way to go, Thomas, is to send her to Catholic social media apps, really good ones, and then just because we need to engage her mind in order for her to make a free choice. Hope that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, of course, we know shows here on Relevant Radio like the Patrick Madrid Show, the Father Simon Says, Cale Clark, and Faith Explained, Trending with Timmery. There's all sorts of wonderful shows that you can tune
Patrick
into.
Patrick Conley.
Yeah, that's more of the spirit. That's on the spiritual directors, not so much on me, though, Father. So, so we're grateful for that. And but there's lots of things, especially Trending with Timmery seeks to address some of the very issues that you were just talking about, Thomas. And it's geared toward young adults as well. So that might be a good thing to check out as well. So check out the Relevant Radio app, as always, free and recently updated as well. So you can check that out at your app store. Well, Father, just in the last less than a minute now, last words of advice on maybe what to do or what not to do when addressing folks who are loved ones who have fallen away?
So I think it's a very individual approach. You have to take a look at each person and know what is it that makes this person tick? What do they like? So, for instance, with the last caller, we know that daughter likes social media. So that's the avenue to go. Other people like other methods or forms of communication. So it's a very individual thing. You know, parents know their children are very well, and so kind of adapt your approach to each person individually. They will, first of all, feel honored that you are treating them as an individual and not having one solution, you know, blanket all situations, but make it very individual.
Okay, very good. Father, thank you so much for spending this hour with us and giving us some good direction on this very important and sensitive topic. May we have a blessing from you as we close the show, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith that we have and hope that we can share it well with others. And we ask this blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And as always, if you missed any portion of the show or would like to go back and listen again or share it with others who may be facing some of the same issues that we were talking about, go to relevantradio.com/innerlife where you can find the past archives of all of our shows. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Stay tuned for that. Our celebrant today is Father Richard Ketchell. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about when God seems silent. We're going to be talking about unanswered prayers and what to do then with Father Bryce Sibley. Until then, grace and peace.